everyone, welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I'm your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi. You can actually find me on stage for once. I'll be at Status Vernon for my long weekend in the Okanagan if you happen to be there. So come hang out, come chat about the show. I love when people do that, or just tip me. I also love money, so I mean. Let's be real here. Other than that, if you have heard this before, you can skip ahead if you want to. But I am a sex worker. I am also a cam model. I stream exclusively on Streamate, and I'm also an online content creator as well. You can find my OnlyFans somewhere on the internet if you search hard and long. Other than that, if this is your first time tuning in, this show is all about sex work and all about destigmatizing the work, the industry, and in an effort to humanize sex work and the industry, the people that are involved with it, and also to educate, because I know a lot of people use this as a resource for either research papers, if they're preparing themselves to be getting into sex work, they're doing their due diligence, doing research and all that stuff. So this is kind of what the show is for, but also people are just really curious and all. Of course, there's a tons of sex workers that listen to the show as well, because we want to hear shows about us where we can actually relate to shit. So that's just a little tidbit, nutshell, I guess, about the show. Before we get into the really hot topic of sex work and dating, which is a giant topic, I don't know how we're going to fit everything in today, but we are going to try our best. I just want to say hello to the Patreon subscribers. Hi, those who are on the second and third tier get a nice little fan recognition shout out. So just want to say hello to Snoo Snoo from Germany. We've got Justin Erickson from Vancouver, Washington. We've got Geyser, Selena Money, Moxie Mayhem. We've got Dan from Red Door Products from Seattle. We've got McKenna King, who was on the show during the season, from Edmonton. We've got B. York, big content creator, also based in Seattle, and Eric Araujo. And of course, all you lovely folks that are on the first tier as well. Thank you so much for financially supporting the show. I super appreciate it. It's just mind-blowing to me that you would love to send money to me to continue to develop the show and send me to adult industry related events across North America, and also website hosting, because obviously that is not free. So that's exactly where your money's going. If you're curious about Patreon, there are all of the video exclusive episodes that are on there. You get that now a week earlier. And also I am going to start rolling out videos on YouTube. So if you haven't started listening on YouTube, that's where you can go. And you can also find the videos. You will be able to find the videos on there eventually, but I want to make sure Patreon people get that first. So if you want that access and an early access to new episodes one week before, that's where you go. So go check it out. It's patreon.com/strippedbysia, and we'll see you there. So as I mentioned, we have a big topic to discuss today. And of course I had to get one of my local girlies here from British Columbia, Canada, where we are based in, to come on the show. She is an original guest from season one, back on episode 12, talking about sex worker rights and PR. My God, where has the time flown? It's been like 5 years since like I've had you back on the show. So if you're wondering who this lovely voice is, and if you are a fan of the podcast, also locally made here in wonderful Vancouver, 50 plus a tip, one of our hosts here is joining us. And of course, you will know her lovely voice by Danica. Hello, Danica. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, actually.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe it's been 5 years and we haven't aged a day. It's insane.
I was going to say, we look even better now. Right? Well, it's...
We're like Benjamin Button.
Defying time. No, yeah, super stoked to have you on. As mentioned, this is a super hot topic. A lot of people have like so many questions, and just we're going to talk about everything, how to navigate, how to set expectations, boundaries, when to disclose, the big question that we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into all of that stuff. Do you want to maybe tell the audience a little bit about yourself? I know we did a full-on introduction on episode 12, so if you all want to listen back there, Danica can give you the whole spiel on everything. But if you want to give us a nice little reminder, I'd love to always, you know, throw it back to our guests so they can have, you know, their time to shine, but also they can also define terms in their own words and terms. So feel free to go ahead.
Yeah. So as you said, my name's Danica. I'm a host of 50 Plus a Tip podcast, which similar to yours is a podcast for all the sexy people, sex workers and sex worker allies. And I have been in the sex industry for over a decade now, which is insane.
Insane. It's wild.
That's crazy because I'm still 22 and that's wild. And I've dabbled in pretty much everything, in-person, online sex work. I specialize, obviously, in stripping, which has been kind of my home base for over that decade. Dabbling, again, in OnlyFans, camming, dom.
Everything.
Kink stuff, all the goods, yeah. Which I think we all like to diversify in this industry.
Of course, so and you need
if
to.
There's something in the, yeah, if there's something in this industry, I'd probably done it at least twice.
So much true said there. I know, like, we definitely want to discuss many, many things. I'm just like scrolling through my notes here. There's so much to cover. But I think the most appropriate place to start is with your own personal experience with dating as a sex worker, the good, the bad, the ugly, the crazy. Where do you want to start?
Right? Like, how do we – this huge, massive topic, because it's the first thing everyone asks
you,
right? Do you have a partner? How do they handle your job? Mm-hmm. It's like the first thing squares and other sex workers kind of – or especially entry-level yes. sex workers ask. And even ones that have been in it for a long time in the industry still kind of struggle with it sometimes, how to navigate.
For sure.
Navigating the world of dating is already hard. Yes. And then being a sex worker on top of that and then living in godforsaken Vancouver.
The worst.
Where the dating pool is like a muddy puddle. Like,
of the same people on all the apps. I don't miss those days.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, you're so lucky. yeah, so you know what? I've always been an out there sex worker. Like, I've never hidden when I first started dancing. I never hid that I did it. So I unfortunately don't have the luxury of being able to compare the two. Of being able to like date as like a like closeted sex worker. I've always been very out there. I'm sure there's people when they first meet me don't know what I do. But I also, let's be honest, I look like a stripper. Like, people can kind of pick up. I know, like, I have like quite large fake boobs, big lashes, big lips. Like, yeah, I definitely don't look like the girl next door typically.
The whole package, yeah, though. Guess. Come on.
Yeah, right? Boobs and brains. Like, hell yeah. Lucky. but yeah, and a big part of that is we'll get into disclosing, but I don't want people around me who are not comfortable with sex work, who do not support sex workers. Mm-hmm. And why would I waste your time and my time?
Right.
The quicker I disclose, or the quicker you meet me on a friendship or acquaintance level even, and you learn that I'm a sex worker and I'm very pro sex workers' rights, and you feel some kind of way about it, the way I see it is it's a trash taking itself out.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really want to get to know you anyways, because that's all I need to know. But
yeah, and
like, if you're not, yeah, if you're a swerf, like, ugh. The door is over there. We're good.
Fair enough. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have a certain idea of what sex work is, what it looks like, who's involved, etc. But it really kind of puts us either in a weird pedestal, in a box somewhere. It's a very strange place to be. And then, as you mentioned, throwing that into the dating mix of things, and yes, being in Vancouver or any other major city, if you're listening from elsewhere, it can get complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated, but unfortunately, dating is I'm so glad I'm done with that.
It's a beast.
It is definitely a beast. I mean, talking about like your own personal experience, Danica, I would really like to know, like, in past conversations, how were you able to navigate? Because I know you mentioned, okay, yeah, earlier is better. That's what has happened in your own life. Like, how have you steered those conversations? How have you approached it? Because I know that's a big question that people like to ask. And we're going to talk in more general terms later on, but just talking about your own life. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I spent most of my, I have spent most of my 20s in long-term relationships, right? So I was not on the dating scene very often until the last little bit. I had to re-enter the pool. and it's just as bad as I remember it. No. So I was lucky enough that my first long-term partner, when I first started dancing, over a decade ago, I wasn't dancing when we first got together. I started dancing 2 or 3 years into our relationship, and he wanted to go to Fort Mac mm-hmm. to work on the oil rigs up there. And he had a family member who was managing, like a bar manager at a strip club. Mm. And that kind of got me in the door as a server at the strip club. And then him and I talked, and I was like, I really want to start dancing. It's better money. I danced competitively my whole life. I'm good for it. And he's like, yeah, like I love you. Like, that's not going to change anything about our relationship. Like, I know you're loyal and you're a solid person. Like, make your money.
Yes.
And that was easy because we had such a foundation of him knowing me inside out, who I was, that like that didn't overshadow anything, which I find a lot of us, maybe speaking for myself, I experience that. When people first hear I'm a stripper, that's all they
hear.
They don't hear anything about my degrees. They don't hear anything about my, like, my moral compass. It's just I'm a stripper. And they just look for everything to kind of confirm these stereotypes they have as strippers, right?
Yes.
So that was helpful to have someone who knew me as a fully functioning human. And then it was just a new job I was going into. Mm-hmm. And then we were together for a while. Then she broke up. My next partner had known me since I was like 12 or 13. So again, they knew me as Danica.
Sasha.
And then, oh, and you're a stripper now. Okay. And then my next partner is in the industry. So that was super fucking funny because they just understood, right? There was never any issue with like jealousy or anything like that.
Right.
But now entering back the dating pool, I recently went on a date and, you know, the thing about disclosure too is you have to acknowledge the privilege.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right. I'm big on disclosing because I feel no shame about my job. And like I said, if I tell you and you feel some kind of way and you show where you stand on that, you've just made my job easier because now I'm like, you know what, like we will, if you don't see eye to eye on sex workers' rights with me, we are going to disagree on a lot of fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Like I can already tell kind of the person you are, the way you look at women or not even women, just women presenting or women identifying people.
Right.
We're going to disagree on a lot of shit.
Right. No, totally.
Because you're probably a turf. You're probably a swerf. You're probably a turf. You're probably like, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with that you are. So I might as well get that out of the way early. My time is money and I don't want to waste it.
Totally.
And, but that being said, like I actively make myself more white passing to like have the white privilege because again, this is a topic I think you and I have talked about this before, that I'm part Cree and I don't really disclose that in work settings because, people are racist.
People are very racist. So yes.
Yeah. So I actively try to be a little more white passing, and it's sad that you have to, but
that's what people do to survive though. But like in order to make life quote unquote easier though, you have to do what you got to do. Right. So.
Yeah. And so in saying that, my point is that I have put myself in a more privileged position, mm-hmm. right, than other people might be. So with that privilege, I have the privilege of disclosing and not being too worried about the repercussions. So although I encourage disclosing early on, I also acknowledge that not everyone has that privilege.
Right.
So I think that's like an important thing to state as a privileged sex worker. Like where I come from is solely my experiences, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I went on a date with a guy recently because I was like, I need to go on dates. That's how you meet someone. No one's going to scale 31 floors up to my building and meet me. Like, I mean, like I have to actually, I guess, you know, interact with humans. So I was out with my girlfriend's birthday recently and I was at a bar and this guy walked up and he looked quite cute. I kind of made eyes and then he walked by again. I made eyes and then he came up and said bye to me and I was leaving. And he's like, could I get your number? Like, sure. Obviously gave him my fake number, obviously, and a fake name because I'm not going to give my real name or my work name. I gave him like a far-fetched fake name. And then, because I don't want you finding me at my real name. I don't want you finding my at my work.
Yeah, so totally crazy.
the things we have to do, right? Please, for safety. But and then he was texting, all good. Like, he was pretty witty. He made plans for a date. Planned a date. I was like, hey, like check. Like, you know, you're doing the things. And then we went on the date, and it was good for the first like half hour or so.
Uh-oh.
And he kept asking like what I do for work. And I'm a really bad liar, like horrible. Like, even my long-term clients like probably know too much about me because I just cannot lie. but whatever. Like, I remember back in the day, one of my girlfriends doesn't dance anymore. She used to have the most like far-fetched stories of like her name, her family history, like where she grew up, like her whole like fake dog's names, like and she's like, honestly, I love it. It's like I get to act, I get to like be a new
person. Different persona.
Like, fucking draining. Yeah, she loved it. I was like, honestly, just like me putting new wigs on it, like that's too much. I can't fake a whole attitude and personality. But so I just kind of said to him, and like I do agree with the statement when he kept asking what I did for work. I was like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like the reason you're asking that is either to gauge how much money I have, mm-hmm. or like my education level, yeah. or like what value I bring to society. Like, those are kind of the things you're like asking with that question. Yeah. And none of them should matter to you at this point. Engaged.
Yeah.
Of course, he kept picking at it and being like, but what do you do? But what do you do? Are you a bottle service girl? And I was
oh
like,
my gosh.
And if I was, like, who the fuck cares? Like, make your money, bitch. Like, love it. Anyways, and then I was kind of like, already at that point, I was kind of like, hey, like, you haven't respected the boundary I put in place. You've asked me four times now.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, fuck it. Let's see how right I am. The minute I tell him I'm a stripper, let's see how this fucking changes, which I knew it would. I was giving him a chance. And I was like, yeah, I'm a dancer. I'm an exotic dancer, a stripper, or whatever you want to phrase it as. He's like, oh. And like instantly.
It just changed.
Like the switch of it. Like he kept like trying to touch my leg and stuff. And I was like, he's like, why do you lean away? I was like, I don't know you like that. I don't like people touching me. I'm not trying to be rude. I just like, please don't touch me anymore. Like, don't touch my leg. Like, this is the first date. Like, and I obviously like said it a little nicer than that.
Yeah.
But like it was instantly gross the way you heard stripper. And then you're like, oh, easy.
Right, like, right. They think they can make some moves.
Clearly you don't know me.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, clearly you don't know me.
Gross.
And then there's a local strip club here. And he was like almost bragging about how he got like banned from it.
Why would you be like, bragging about that? Ew, get the fuck out of here.
Ew. Like, ew, you're that guy.
Yeah.
And now I'm in public with that guy.
Gotta
like,
go.
Absolutely not. So I was just like, yeah. I was like so off the rest of the night. I was just kind of like on my phone being like, is this done? Like, checked out. Like, oh God, this is what happens when he gives one a chance.
I don't blame you. That sounds horrible. But it's unfortunate.
It
like, unfortunate that your suspicions were correct. That's just so disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I was really hoping he'd prove me wrong, but he did not. He did not.
I mean, that being said, this person was a quote unquote like sieve person, just a regular dude.
Oh,
or not. Or not.
I think he said he used to bounce at a club.
Which,
I know, as soon as he said that, I was like,
okay. You're like, all right, then we've got some good gems here.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Write this down for the podcast. You know,
good content. It's
like, yeah. My co host, Ryan, and I always joke when shit goes sideways, we're like, for the pod.
Yep.
For the
pod. You got it.
Yeah.
Well, I would like love to know, and I don't know if you have dated anyone from the club, or like what's your thoughts on meeting people from the club?
Like squares, like customers, dating customers.
Yeah. Club? Or like if you've ever gone a date with one, if you're regular.
We don't gotta go
yeah. Like tell us about that.
We don't gotta go. Yeah. No. Okay. So I have never, and I'm pretty adamant about this, not mixing work with pleasure.
Yes.
And I always say this when, because we get a lot of people writing in saying, you know, oh my, and this is the most common thing I think a lot of regulars get to, the shitty regulars. They start going, well, like, don't you like me? Like, why do you still want to charge me? Like, it always gets to that point, right? It's like, don't you like me for free?
No.
And I always tell these workers, put it the other way around. If you like me so much now, don't you want to pay me more?
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to, like, support me even more now because you like me so much. Right. Why is like our budding relationship only like doing a disservice to me now?
No, like, that makes sense.
I don't know. Just like ask these questions and then they're like, oh, what? It's like, yeah, I keep thinking, well, that did you, bitch. Yeah. But no, I'm pretty strict with my like work relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe that's because I was in monogamous long-term relationships while I was in sex work that I had those kind of boundaries already in place where like I could go to my partner and be like, you know me. In all the years we've been together, I have never crossed that boundary with a client. Like, I never will. And that gives them some peace of mind, I think, too. And also for me, like, anyone that knows me, I am a hustler through and through. Like, I have been for over a decade. That's the persona I've always been in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not in my heart when I'm at work. I am in my fucking bank.
Yeah, like, no, I am totally. In that money.
Yeah.
Which is really
like,
smart.
And that being said, it doesn't mean I don't, like, have, like, adoration for my clients doesn't mean I don't like genuinely like love them as humans. I've had clients for like 7+ years that I see regularly and I know everything about their lives and they know probably way too much about mine. And we have like a solid relationship together. But that relationship will end when they stop paying me because I am providing a service at the end of the day. And the money doesn't negate real emotion, right? I think people confuse that a lot.
Right.
Just because you're paying someone doesn't mean that real affection or real care isn't there. It's just a respect thing of like, this is still my job at the end of the day.
Oh, 100%. It's so true. Like, I mean, for those that are curious too, I mean, I'm the opposite. Like, I'm not the opposite. I do have very strict work boundaries as well. Well,
is that true?
I did. I am one of those sex workers that married her client. So, and of course, you could listen to that those episodes on Danica's podcast because that's all over on 50 Plus Tip. But yeah, I am one of those folks that did take a chance on a client. But I will say, fetish clients are really great and very obedient.
And you know what? Also, and like, you know, everything, there's always outliers, right?
Of course.
I just think like your base should kind of be holding that boundary in place. And you're a smart woman and, you know, you came to a point where you realized like this was where that boundary was worth moving.
Right.
Right. You didn't just do it for, I assume, every client you had.
It was one client.
So I think, yeah. And, you know, you had years of experience in the industry before that. You weren't new in a club, met a guy and you're like, oh my God, love my life. I hope.
No. And I'm not here to chastise or laugh at you. If you have done that before, you know, you learn from those experiences and you learn to never do that fucking again. I'm sorry. I think it's really important to keep business and personal separate because I just don't want to muddy the waters. I don't want it to ruin my game either. And as you said, Danica, you're here to make money. This is what we're doing. This is our job. This is our livelihood. And honestly, the times that I've had folks that have been interested, it just gets really murky. And I personally just don't want to fumble the bag.
Right. Yeah. And that, like, I've lost some really good financial clients because I know I had one client a few years back and we talk every day. Like, and then we'd hang out all the time and he was very financially supportive. And like, I didn't go to the club anymore. He was just kind of my main person. We'd go for dinners every night, lunches every day. Like, it was great. We go and like, I'm big on Halloween. It's like one of my favorite holidays. As you can tell, I don't know if you can see, which is funny. This shirt I put on today and I was like, that's hilarious. It's like Vampirella and it's her like, I don't know if you can see, it's her like murdering a guy.
How appropriate.
I was like, this is what an appropriate shirt to wear today. But anyways, I love like horror stuff, Halloween. So we'd go to like all the different like Halloween farms and he'd pay me to go. But it was like, yeah, a dream situation. We would just go to all these fun events I wanted to go to and he'd pay me good money. Which was a gift for a tax.
Right? They're all gifts. They're all gifts.
Yeah. Donation. Actually, it is tax season soon and y'all should be, but you all should be paying your taxes accurately.
Yes.
even though it fucking sucks because we already get taxed so much.
Club. Yes.
A whole other conversation we had, but yeah, you got to play the role of a good tax paying citizen, unfortunately.
Of course.
But he was great. We had such a good time. He was like 2 years older than I was at the time. So like our like lifestyle was very similar. Yeah, and we just had the best time. It's such good. Like, he never crossed like sexual boundaries that I wasn't comfortable with. Like, he was okay with it just being like escorting where like sex isn't involved. And but then he just got kind of fucking crazy.
Aww.
And there was one time he called me 40 something times in a row. And I was like, no, like, you are not. I am not your partner. Even a partner that's so like,
that's crazy.
Like harass someone like that. Yeah. Like, this is not okay. And like, we need to take a step back. And this was like, I guess like 3 years ago now. And he still messages me like every like three, four months.
Like, once every quarter.
Q1, Q2, Q3, he goes like, I miss you. I'm like, yeah, I miss you too. Like, and I was like, and when you want to pay me to go for lunch, we can have a good talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, there's nothing.
That boundary is still there.
Good, as it should be. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know what? They always come crawling back anyways.
Yeah. And it's a shame because he was lovely. He was very handsome, tall, good looking, like handsome and good looking at that point. and I genuinely loved his company. And like, it's funny because like, he's someone I probably would have dated, but the minute you become a client, in my head, it's like, I'm not gonna like fuck up my own bag, right? Like, it's just I'm providing a service for you.
No, yeah, totally. It's
a mentality I've held pretty strong too.
I get you with that. I mean, that's just, it gets spoiled and it gets tiresome. And unfortunately, the situations that I've either been in or I've heard from friends, there just gets to be some weird controlly like behavior that is almost borderline harassment, where honestly at that point you should be cutting ties, in my opinion, because those can turn into really potentially scary situations, can be turned into dire situations as well. And also, it's just overall, it's just not healthy. It's super toxic to be in something like that. I do want to mention, because I know that someone on Twitter was also talking about, like, can we also talk about the glorification or like the tokenism that also might be apparent too, or the fetishization of sex workers too? Because sometimes Tanika's like nodding the head.
Yeah,
the whole fantasy of like dating a sex worker and how that is a fantasy and will only live as a fantasy. And yeah, let's talk about that and talk about expectations, just because I don't know. Like, let's get into it. Let's talk about it.
Let's fucking go. Yeah. So I say it all the time. People want to fuck a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to date a stripper.
Yes.
Because we're not, how do I say it? Yes, we're strippers, but we're not only strippers. We are fully functioning humans.
Yes.
Multifaceted, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Multifaceted humans. So you're not dating that woman on stage. Hopefully you are dating me as a multifaceted person, mm-hmm, with my Coke bottle glasses on and my retainer in and the wig off and like,
yep,
my bald cap on. Like, yeah, like that's my nighttime bonnet. Like, that's what you're dating, right?
It's so true.
And they need to want all of,
yeah,
that. Like, they need to understand that you are a person, warts and all. And that glamorized version of you isn't really you. Like, it's like, it would be like, as much as I love, and everyone knows this, you know, do you know who The Witcher is?
Oh, the show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't watch it though, yeah, but but some people might, so please reference away.
Okay. So Henry Cavill is the guy that played The Witcher.
Babe.
And I think he's just God's,
yeah,
gift.
Like, babe.
He's so handsome. But that would be like, that would be like me dating him, thinking he is going to act like The Witcher.
Right. No.
No, that's someone he played.
It's
like,
a character.
I cannot be that delusion to think that Henry Cavill is The Witcher in real life. And it's the same as on field date strippers. Like, you don't really think I'm Danica Darling,
mm-hmm,
like Sunday to Wednesday. Like, no, I'm off the clock.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it's hilarious to me that people can't realize that, or a lot of people don't.
Oh, totally.
And also, too, like, I was seeing a guy recently and
I'm sorry to trigger you here.
Oh lordy, okay. Let's get into it. No, and he was talking to me, and he's a bit younger, which is not something I've done. My ex before was 22 years older than I am, something like that. Right. So, and my ex before that was 12 and then 7. Like most of the people in my life have been, the only people actually that I've dated that are in my age group are like female identifying people. Mm-hmm. Are the only ones. And also just like, yeah, women have it together. So he was telling me like, oh, like I told my mom about you. And I was like, okay. And he's like, oh yeah, she's like, I was talking about that you're a stripper. I'm like, why? Oh my God. Why did you tell her that? It goes back to like, that's not the first thing I need people to identify me as. Like, you could have told her so much else about me before that came up. Because she doesn't know me, and she'll probably never get to know me in like an authentic, like real way where like she realized that I'm not just a stripper.
Right.
But it was almost like a bragging thing.
His
friends came to his house and he was like, oh yeah, my friends are like, oh, it smells like a stripper in here. And I was like, what? Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Oh my gosh.
Like, it smells like dry hands.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, he means like it smells like vanilla and it smells sweet. I'm like, then why don't they just say it smells like vanilla and it smells sweet? Like, why is stripper like my identifier?
Right.
But it's again, like this glorification of like, you're dating a stripper. Like, and I mean, yeah, we're fucking the best. But like, but we are other things, right?
No, so, totally.
Yeah, it is funny this way people glorify and kind of put you in this box of like, that's your identity.
Totally. And I hate that. But
yeah,
it's worse.
And then when you see when it gets more serious, when you go from like seeing each other to actually dating, all of a sudden now they don't really want their friends calling you a stripper anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't really want people to identify as a stripper. And you're like, why? Like what like weird whore phobia do you have? And now you're embarrassed that your friends identify your girlfriend as a stripper.
Well,
I think that's pretty telling.
Yeah. And that's the opposite end. That's like the disgust end of it, mm-hmm. which is so strange.
Yeah.
How it goes into that weird evolution of things.
Yes. And typically I've found that people that glorify also demonize. Like they are the same person typically.
Oh, 100%.
So.
Yeah. No, it's definitely happened. And like akin to what you were saying earlier too, like, you know, this is what you're going to get. You wig off, you know, no makeup, no lashes, nothing. It's important because like you also need to determine what these boundaries are for yourself, but also for your partner's self as well. And I'm just going to quote a tweet from Francesca on X. I thought it just rings so true. So she writes, sensual masseuse here. No, you will not get 2-hour long sensual massage for me every night. No, I will not selflessly dedicate hours to your pleasure with nothing in return. No, I'll not be able to see you every evening or weekend. No, I will not enjoy a bad massage from you. Yes, I really do spend until midnight or beyond doing the washing. Yes, I really do need to be up early, even though my first appointment's at 9. Yes, I do need to spend money and time on my appearance for work. And no, I won't bother with hair and makeup when I'm not working. Truth be told.
Yeah.
We're not working. We're not on the clock. But like, it's true. I just feel like sometimes people have this idea of like, oh, I'm dating a sex worker. So that means, oh my God, we're going to do all the stuff that we see in your videos, all the customs that you make or whatever. And it's just it's just not a realistic thing to expect. Like, you need to stop seeing us with this label on and actually see and view us as human beings.
Yeah. And honestly, it all comes down, like so much of what we talk about comes down to the concept that like sex work is work. Mm-hmm. So like in any other job, would a customer expect you to stop getting paid and do your job? No, they wouldn't. Like no one else expecting people to do their job for free just because they like you. And if they are, then they're not
going
to. And no other job, like when for like the dating scene, it's hard to date when you're a sex worker. If your main hours of work are Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, it's hard to like, and I was sober for many years. Mm-hmm. So I've always like preferred a brunch over a dinner because people are weirdly uncomfortable with sobriety.
Oh my gosh.
Especially on a date, like a guy who wants to have a drink and you're a sober person, they just, most of them feel uncomfortable with a sober girl on a date, which I think is kind of telling you what you thought was going to happen at the end of the day. Now you're kind of disappointed. So that's a whole other
question.
But, so I'm a big brunch person. I love a basic bitch brunch. Like I love it. But it's really hard to go on a date and be like, oh, we can do a Tuesday brunch date. And they're like, can we do a Friday night date? And I'm like, yeah, you want to pay me X amount of thousands of dollars to miss work?
Yeah.
Because I'm not asking you to miss work. Like,
right.
So yeah, a lot of it just comes down to like remembering that like sex work is work. Mm-hmm. And would you ask any other adult who's working to put a roof over their head to make those accommodations for someone?
Right. I'm just going to clap for that because it is so freaking true.
Yeah, it is, right?
Just let that statement sink in, everyone, if you're listening at home. Yeah. I mean, I know we mentioned it earlier in your personal story about like disclosure, but I know that's a huge topic that, you know, most folks are, it's either team, are we going to tell the person we're dating immediately, or is this going to happen something like somewhere down the line? But then I know we had some people on Twitter, because this is a completely divided conversation. People don't want to mislead the person. People don't want to waste people's time. People don't want to waste their own time. But also, does that like sever or damage your dating experience at all? What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's a huge discourse, right? Mm-hmm. I am of two minds. If I could be a better liar and keep shit to myself, I would love to do my own little study, but I would fail miserably because I always tell on the first date because I just can't, or even before I go on the first date. And also, more so for me, it's just like, I don't even want to do the song and dance.
Right, me too.
Of fake having a different job, and then we get to know each other a little bit more, and then I tell you what I do. Also because I'm big on trust and I'm big on honesty. And if it were the other way around, again, like looking at sex work as work, if I was on a date with someone and they lied about their job and then a week or five dates in or whatever, eventually like, hey, I didn't tell you the truth. I actually do this for work. And I'd be like, okay, but what else did you not do?
Right.
Like that's how my mind would work. So I wouldn't want someone to look at me as someone they can't fully trust. So that's one of the reasons why I choose to disclose pretty early mm-hmm. on. And also, yeah, like at the end of the day, like I'm such like a strongly opinionated person that sex workers work and that sex workers deserve compassion and rights and like proper legal discourse and like everything that like I just will have nothing in common with someone if they're going to look at me different because I'm a stripper. Mm-hmm. And you know, and that's to say if I'm on a date with someone, I'm like, yeah, I'm a stripper. And they're like, I don't think I could date a stripper because of my own, you know, my own insecurities or I couldn't handle that. Like by all means, it's not easy dating someone in the sex industry. And like, I have so much respect for them being honest about that. Mm-hmm. And like, it was great to meet you. Like best of luck. I'm not going to try to change their mind.
Oh yeah.
So I think it takes a certain type of person to be able to date in this industry.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes to that.
Right. Yeah. And that has nothing to do with like morals or anything like that. It's truly just like you need to be very confident in yourself and you need to be very confident in the relationship you guys are building.
Yes.
And very honest and very like trusting of one another. And that is already hard for a lot of people. And then to throw in our industry, like it's
complicated.
It's a lot of people to handle, right?
Yeah, no, that's so important. I'm so glad you mentioned that because, you know, it actually really does take a certain person or like a really mature person, open-minded person to be able to date someone in the sex industry. And I think kind of akin to what you were saying earlier too, and I'm just going to quote something on Twitter as well, just because there was a huge conversation about this. This person wrote in, it's from Zoe. I'd like to point out something I was discussing recently with my partner. He was prepared for me to be close, intimate, and naked alone in a room with clients, but he was not prepared for how often I went on dinner dates. It did bother him because he could never, take me on so many. So that's like a really interesting perspective I never even thought about too, like your partner having certain specific boundaries on like what is intimate to them and what is that definition of intimacy. Because like myself, you know, being a sugar baby many, many moons ago, like it was very much like sex is work. Like this is like an on and off button. I can turn that off very easily. But some people cannot digest that. Or certain things, like certain things that I would reserve for relationships, like kissing. I would never kiss any of my clients because I was like, that to me is even more intimate than having sex with someone. But it varies for everyone, but it just depends. And I think these are conversations that you actually really do have to have with your partner. And I mean, going back to you, Danica, like how do you navigate these kinds of conversations? Of course, it can be challenging and really hard, but like, how would you go about it?
So the biggest success I have found is asking your partner how much they want to know. And how, mm-hmm. and also like you don't owe someone everything about your business, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is your business.
Right.
But the best way I've been able to like maneuver around those kind of conversations is kind of a out of sight, out of mind, unless you want to talk about
right.
it. So when I go to work, they don't ask about what work is or how many guys I danced with that night or if there were hot guys. unless there's a night where they're feeling really insecure and they're feeling some kind of way, and then they can pull me aside and say, hey, you know what, like, my mind's kind of going places right now. Can we talk about work for a minute? Like, not offering them information, because then it becomes too much of a forefront, at the forefront, I found, where it became like all they, and then it started kind of forcing thoughts on them that they didn't really need to be having.
Right.
Where they were okay, kind of like disassociating. You go to work, you do your work, it's not my business. Mm-hmm. But then when you, if you come home and your friend's like, oh, I made this much money, or, oh, I did this dance and blah, blah, blah. I just found like that kind of started to make problems.
Oh.
Also, another problem I've noticed in relationships is if you do a lot better financially than your partner, they feel some kind of way about that. that's a big thing. Like, why do I pay for dinner?
Right.
And I'm like,
I can't believe.
Because other men buy my dinner.
Yeah. No, it's very true. It's so true. It's almost like a competitive, not even competitive, but like a really insecure almost against this. And sometimes when it's the issue of another man providing in a certain way, I find that some men get really, weirdly competitive, weirdly insecure, weirdly jealous about this, even though there is a clear separation, at least for you, a clear delineation of like what is work and what is like, you know, intimate time and time with my partner and whatnot. And sometimes those lines can get blurred. And it's hard to erase those lines sometimes too, which is why I really think it's important to have, like, it's actually required, I feel, to have these conversations sometimes, right? So, and again, every person's situation is going to vary. So I'm hoping that some of this general advice will be able to speak to some of you listening as well. Because there's just so many specific scenarios and I can't answer all of them. I know there's a lot of them that came on Twitter. So hopefully this has been helpful. But, I mean, along that line, too, talking with – because you have obviously dated. We've all dated. They all know what we do. Have you ever been in a situation, or if you haven't been, like, what would be your experience for those who are dealing with exes who have malicious intent in terms of, like, they may now want to dox you or are now in a stalking or harassment kind of situation? Because unfortunately, this does happen to many sex workers as well. And I also feel like this is something that we should also bring up on the show when it does come to this big topic of dating. But curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, oh, knock on wood.
Yeah, I'm knock on wood too.
That I don't have bad blood with many of my exes. Mm-hmm. And not for lack of them trying. They did a lot of fucked up shit. But I usually go in peace. I hope to, or try to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's another like benefit of like being out there a sex worker, right? Mm-hmm. Is like people aren't gonna dox you because like you've already like doxed yourself. Yeah. Like, it's like no one being like, oh, Danica's a sex worker is gonna surprise them, and they'd be like, and like, yeah, she literally has a podcast where she talks about it. Like, there's nothing people are gonna tell on me that I haven't already told myself. Right. So I think that takes some of the power of that. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like, there's if they're like using like nudes of yours or like kind of like doing those kind of things, there are like legal avenues you can take. Right. Again, obviously, as sex workers, we do need to be smart with when we get involved
with folks
trying to get like legality involved and stuff. Right. Like, unfortunately, that is something you have to be weigh your pros and cons and do some research on the legality in your area and what could come of that. I hate to say like I haven't had to experience that. Well, I'd love to say that I haven't had to experience that. I hate that I can't give advice. And I hate that other women and people have gone through that because it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And it blows my mind that someone who allegedly loved you at some point would want to cause you harm just because the relationship ended.
Yeah. It's crazy.
There's a saying I love, and it says, I still love the people I love even if I cross the street when I see them. And like that's how I look at my exes. Like, I still have love for them even if we're not good in each other's lives.
Yeah.
So I would never actively try to hurt them.
No.
And I hope that they would never try to actively hurt me. But you never know. Some people, they can show your best side in a relationship and then they just turn these fucking monsters. My girlfriends have had to deal with it, and I've had friends have to deal with it.
Yes, me too.
So I can't really give advice on it because I've never experienced it myself, but definitely like look into if it is serious enough, if there's like a legal legal way you can handle it. If it's whether a restraining order, which they don't do a lot, but it's still like something on some kind of paper trail that they are an issue to you in case something, unfortunately, if something were to ever happen, I hope it doesn't, but at least it's kind of been, it's been like marked down and there's some kind of like acknowledgement that this person has this kind of background with you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, that absolutely makes sense.
And also just like, and like talk to people, like have your friends know what's happening. The safe people that are safe to you, tell people like in your circle what's happening so they can know, you know, keep your location on all those like safety protocols that most of us do regardless. Mm-hmm. Like definitely heighten those for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And,
for sure.
And don't communicate. People will like,
yes.
Yeah. If they send you shit, just don't communicate. Like it just, people just want like ammunition to the fire and just don't give it to them.
Yeah. No, it's not productive. Just
block their numbers.
Block, delete. Goodbye. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's scary being in those situations. Like I have dealt with a stalker, not in regards to my sex work. Thank God, knock on wood as well. But also like dealing with that and also having to get like police involved, again, having that kind of paper trail and, you know that there is something that out there that's kind of looking after you in some way that is definitely really helpful. If it ever, like I would say if you are getting your nudes leaked online, you can file for like a DMCA to try to take it down as well. There's a lot of resources online now where people are actually, you know, able to take some of this like violent images down, violent videos down as well. So there are avenues, and of course there is an episode on that in season 5 with Zeus Mons. Go listen in if you actually need help taking some of your nudes and leak content down. Back to you though, Danica. Say we are dating. And it's going well. It's going really well. And it's going swimmingly. When is a good time, or how do you navigate meeting friends and family? Because again, maybe like we kind of really touched on the topic. Okay. Like his friends introduced you, like might have used the word stripper or whatnot, but how do you navigate around those? Now we're coming into the inner circle kind of experiences.
Unfortunately, if they already, like, huh. Right. Okay. It seems a bit counterintuitive, maybe, because I am such an out there sex worker and I am proud to be a sex worker. I also am very aware of the stigmas that come with it, and not everyone is as open-minded as my circle is, right? When I engage with people that are not in my circle, it is a rude awakening that I have like done a good job of having an awesome community around me. And then when I step, I'm like, ooh, like, you guys are fucking weird out here.
Right.
So if I am meeting friends or family, I will make sure that I am wearing something that's less revealing. I obviously have quite large breasts, so I'll wear something that doesn't show as much cleavage. Hopefully that person has already kind of introduced me as other parts of me that I'm proud of, like my degrees or X, Y, and Z that I, you know, I'm have a really close relationship with my family, like all these things that I think make me who I am. I would hope that those have already been disclosed. If they're not, I will move conversations towards those things so that they get a better idea of me as a multifaceted human. But yeah, I just try not to like have a focus be on my work, because I don't know, I just think it's like, as much as my world is so much about sex work, like I have a sex worker book club and a sex worker podcast, and that's my main source of income. And like, you know, and I've done it for so fucking long. Like, I don't want that to be every conversation I have, every like engagement I have, every time I go out, it's to a sex worker event. Like, I want more in my life. So I would hope the conversations aren't always circulating around me being a stripper. Also, yeah. That's a very, like, especially if you're not in the industry, that conversation only goes so long.
Yeah.
You're like,
hey, it's really boring. It's so boring.
Yeah, it's the same Q&A every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same. Like, you just go on autopilot, right?
For sure.
So yeah, I think I'm just more hyper aware of how I present myself to these people. Mm-hmm. And also, that's part of like me just like safeguarding myself too. Yes. Like, I don't know these people yet. I don't know if they're safe people to disclose things to. And like we just talked about doxing, like I don't know if their friends are clowns and like just want information to use against me. Like, yeah, and I just go in a little apprehensive.
No.
Which just sucks that you have to wait for an after.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it is basically a defense mechanism in order for us to survive and to keep our work and keep our platforms and stuff as well. So you kind of have to take these precautions and you have to, you know, kind of trust your gut, but also not be so trusting in people, because unfortunately there's a lot of people that suck out there and do not have the right intentions and just want to fuck you over, which has happened to friends of mine. So it's a scary place sometimes, but this is what we have to do to keep ourselves safe and to keep our platforms not from being suspended or taken down as well. So yeah, have to deal with that, which isn't so fun. Danica, there are like a lot of questions. A lot of Q&A that came from the audience. I think it's time for us to do that, if that's cool.
Let's do it. Yeah.
I can't remember if you check marked on this question, but if not, I'll edit this out. But has your ideal man changed since getting into OnlyFans?
Not necessarily OnlyFans, but just sex work in general. I think I wouldn't want someone who's not, doesn't have like a provider instinct. Like, I find that very attractive. Obviously, like, I love money. I'm a hustler. So yeah. A man who like has done well for himself, not even based solely on like the financial situation, but also that typically people that have done well for themselves financially have some kind of drive within them, which I am like, I have a big like work ethic drive that I admire in other people. Obviously they have to be open-minded.
Yes.
Obviously I cannot educate you. I cannot handle people that are not emotionally intelligent anymore. I am not your mom. If you failed, some kind of parenting figure failed you, that's, you got to go to therapy. Like, yes. I can't raise people anymore. Like, that's not my job. Unless you're paying me.
Yeah.
Then we can go in the champagne room and we can do a bunch of therapy sessions, naked therapy. I'm here for it. But I'm not doing it in my free time anymore. I say it all the time. When I ended something recently with someone, I said to them, like, I say this from a place of like care. Like, I think from like what you disclose from your past, I think like therapy would be helpful to you. I think therapy is helpful to everyone. Everyone should be in therapy. But, and then I said to him, I was like, you know, I don't want to raise anyone anymore. Like, I did that for almost every single one of my last relationships. I was with someone a lot older than me. I felt like I was doing the emotional labor and the raising of a older man. I was like, gosh, this is not my job and I'm not getting paid.
No.
So yeah, I think sex just makes you, or made me more hyper aware of, or made us aware in general of how much like emotional labor I was paying to other people.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
Yeah. And I think when you're a sex worker and you are constantly around people wanting to pay for your time, wanting to sit in your presence, wanting to tell you how amazing you are, how gorgeous you are, how intelligent you are, and like appreciating all those aspects of you, like you expect that from any kind of partner outside of it, which is a good thing, right? Like, it kind of like raises your awareness of what you deserve,
right?
Because men are doing it plus paying you for it.
Yeah. No, I get you with that. I mean, another thing that you said here really quickly, talking about the educating aspect, especially when you're like, I'm just thinking about educating in the aspect of like, if you're dating someone that's not in our industry, how exhausting that is. And also trying to account for all the emotional labor that you're mentioning here is also like, I personally don't want to do that. I would like people that do their own research and then come in with open mind, that are educated around this topic. If they are asking honest and like earnest questions, then sure. But if it's a constant thing, like, I'm not here to hold your hand. Like, you also have Google and tons of resources to call upon to do that. We're not here to do that work for you. So.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Good one. I know we already mentioned this during the episode, but if you want to just quickly go over and review, the question is, when does one disclose and how do you balance the risk of disclosure and not disclosing soon enough?
Yeah, it's kind of such an individual thing, right? Individual on who you are, individual on who you're disclosing to. Are they a safe person? I think I wouldn't, like, as soon as someone meets me, be like, I'm a sex worker. There has to be some kind of vetting of, like, are you a safe person? And then, like I said, like I choose to disclose very early on because I want the trash to take themselves out. I think it's very revealing of who they are. I think it's very revealing of how compatible we will be long-term anyways. And I'm not a casual dater. I don't really care to have like a random here, random there, like once a week thing. Like that just has never been me. So if I'm giving you my energy on my time off, like I want it to go somewhere, wherever that somewhere looks like. So I just don't care to waste my time on like investing in someone, having these like getting to know you conversations, but you're not really getting to know a big part of my life. Plus like almost all my closest friends are sex workers too. And I don't want to bring anyone around my friends who are not safe for them to be around, who are not like respectful of sex workers. So before you ever meet my friends, I would need to make sure that you're cool with sex workers.
Absolutely.
I'll be damned if you will say anything ignorant around people I love or like disrespectful to the women I love. Like absolutely not.
That would be the worst. I think I know the answer to this question based on your answers, but I don't know. But this person's asking, are they monogamous?
Yeah, I am, unfortunately.
No, it's totally fine.
I am. And it's not even like necessarily like a moral decision to be. I really am just someone who, if I really fuck with you, if I really like you, I really love you, I really care about you, everyone else is fucking mannequins. They just do not do it for me. Like, And I don't know. I think you know some of my exes, and like people always give me hell that I date the men I have dated, that they are not good looking. When I date guys that are like ogres or trolls, like they've been called that, which is horrible because they got called that while we were together. I was like, this is still my partner.
Oh my
like,
God, you don't need to rude.
Tell me he's a troll while we're still together. Tell me that after I break up with him and I hate him. Yeah, I definitely, I don't know. I'm so much about personality and when I'm with someone, if I really fuck with you, I am not tempted by other people by any way.
Totally.
So I am pretty monogamous. Also too, like I think, and maybe because of like the job has made me even more so perhaps because people are so available to us as sex workers that like it's not like exciting to have someone hit on you at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it's boring. Like, don't talk to me, pay me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like I go wait for me at the club and pay me there. So I'm not like tempted. If I'm on a girl's night and there's like a guy trying to talk to me, it's like, it's not like this is an exciting new thing. Like this is what I do every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at the club. I'm excited to go home, put my retainer in, take my bra off and like get into bed with someone I love and watch like Yellowstone or whatever, right? Like that. That's hot to me.
Love it. What's considered special or reserved for the relationship?
Well, that also depends on the relationship I'm in and the boundaries we have. Some people need a little more stuff reserved from them, I guess you could say. And I respect that within reason, as long as it's not like cutting into my bag. Because again, I would never have my insecurities impact my partner's income. Mm-hmm. So I expect them to treat my job as a work as well. So yeah, like a lot of the physical stuff are boundaries. And that's also, I think like, yeah, and more so physical stuff. Like I've told clients I love them before. And sometimes that's a kink, right? Sometimes like that. Some clients actually just want you to say it, just say the words.
Totally.
But yeah, I think it all comes down to like the basis of trust and like care you have in your relationship.
Absolutely.
And like the more trust and care you have, like the less of those kind of conversations you'll need to have placing boundaries in place, and you just kind of know your partner well enough. You know it's going to hurt them. You know, yeah, that makes sense.
No, totally.
But I think it changes partner to partner. It changes what avenue of sex work you're in. You know, I know some full service sex workers, them and their partner consider themselves monogamous because they don't have rec sex with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they think would be cheating is recreational sex, non-paid sex. And they always, always use condoms with anyone who's not their partner.
Right.
And that's like a very like strong boundary a lot of my full service sex worker friends have with their partners. Mm-hmm. And if that were me, I would lean more towards that. Like I completely think that's a very respectful thing to do, to like always keep yourself sexually safe and thus keeping your partner sexually safe.
Absolutely. That's so important. So important. What this person is saying is, what do they get jealous or insecure about? How do they deal with those feelings? Second last question.
So is that me jealous and insecure or my
partner? I would say answering for yourself.
Okay, so what? I'm not, how do I say it? I'm not a very jealous person. I can just hear my exes laughing. I'm not.
But?
I just have very, big but. No, I just have very strict expectations of how I expect you to treat me mm-hmm. and the respect I expect you to show me. And I have very little patience for you to like not. So for example, like you don't need to be DMing random women.
Right.
You don't need to be. You don't need to be signing up to my friends OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely inappropriate. Yes. You don't need to be messaging them, asking them for private videos that are on their OnlyFans and paying them. That's extremely inappropriate.
Oh, no.
So those are boundaries I have. And if they were to do that, I wouldn't get jealous because I think jealousy is like you pitting yourself against another person, and I don't feel that way towards other women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's me or you. I don't have that kind of like
mindset or
what's the word? Yeah, or that kind of like competitiveness
right.
with other women. I don't think we can all win.
Yeah,
like,
we can
all be hot. We can all be like sexually desired. Him thinking you're hot doesn't make me not hot. But I think it's more like my partner, how they show me respect and like the level of respect and how I expect it to look.
No, yeah, it makes complete sense.
So yeah, I don't really get jealous. I just have pretty like
clear firm boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is about me is like anyone that knows me, partners, friends, family, like I will never make someone read my mind. I'm very clear.
Good.
If you do something I don't fucking like, I will say, I don't fucking like that. If you do it again, we're gonna have a fucking issue.
Yep.
And this is why I don't like it. And then if you do it again, like you can't pretend, you can't play ignorant. You knew. It fucking bothered me. You still chose to do it. Like, now we have a problem.
Yeah. Communication is key.
And I don't want to read people's mind. It takes much energy. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you don't want. If I agree with that and I want to do that, then we can move forward. If I disagree and I'm not going to abide by that, then we can end it here. I'm a very black and white person.
No.
I'm very like.
And honestly, it's easier that way. It's much easier.
Yeah. I don't know. Life. You don't need to make life more complicated, right? Just say what you expect, say what you want, and then say if you can fulfill what they want and what they expect.
Of course.
And then easy peasy.
Danica, I know that you have to get out of here really soon. So we have one last question, then we're just going to do all the things that all podcasts do. But when does it not become business in a sex worker client relationship?
Always. Always business. Yeah. I don't think because I've never crossed that line. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's always business. There always needs to be money exchange for any like service you're providing, whether it be them having your phone number and calling you on your days off and things like that. Like that's still a service. You're still providing like emotional labor to someone. You should be compensated in some way because you are a service provider. And then I know people struggle with that line, right? And again, like look at it as work. There are certain lines I'll explain to people. So if they're like the thing of like, you know, like you like me more. So like we like each other now. So why am I still paying you?
Right.
Okay. You like me so much. Why are you not paying me more?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not want to take care of me more now?
Right.
Like it goes both ways. Right. And then that usually is like, wait, what? Like, oh yeah, that it should work both
ways.
I'm not the only one like crossing my boundaries here. And another one is, people stop wanting to pay you for services. And then I would say, you know, if you don't want to pay me for lunches anymore, why am I not asking you to pay me when I don't do my service? Like, why are you the only one expecting something for free now when I'm not expecting money for free? I'm not asking you, hey, send me that X amount of dollars you would have taken me for lunch. Like, say you charge $1,000 for a dinner date, right? You're not asking them to pay you $1,000 to not go to dinner. So why are they asking you for a free dinner without being paid?
Right.
It has to go both
Absolutely.
Ways. Absolutely. Like, so I just like, I'm a very black and white person. I have this conversation with my client. I have no problem saying like, hey, let's break it down here. Like, this is not fair to me. Like, let's have this talk. And also just like with partners, if we don't agree on the level of respect I want and what you want, then like I can cut the client off. It doesn't matter.
Totally. These are wise words. So take it as it is. If you want to hear more about my relationship with my client, there is an episode on Rosie Plus Tip. We can talk about that and how those
and
lines
like
get blurred.
Like, yeah, I know. And like, I obviously have nothing but respect for you. And I totally understand how people fall in love with their clients and that works for them. And it's worked for you. And I'd love to see it. That's just a boundary I have placed myself. And who knows, maybe one day I'll find my dream man as a client and I will look at this episode. I'll be like, you stupid person. Like,
you never know.
Only you knew. But yeah, but hey, if he respected me and he paid a lot of money, could be.
It could work.
Good work.
Danica, I'm just wanting to be respectful of your time, but before I let you go, where can we all find you?
You can find me on Instagram at generic hot girl, which I think is
hilarious. I love that name.
yeah, generic hot girl. And then also on my podcast, 50 Plus a Tip, which is on Instagram, 50 Plus a Tip Pod, so 50 Plus a Tip Pod. And then, yeah, if you want to email me at 50plusatip@gmail.com.
Perfect. All of those are in the show notes below. If you haven't clicked, followed, done all the things, started listening to your show, do it. Please, please, please. And your homework, everyone listening back at home, you know it's new episodes every single Sunday dropping at midnight. You can find me on all podcast platforms. If you feel inclined, if you really want to help out the show, you can write a review, rate 5 stars, do your thing. And yeah, you could reach out to me on X. I'm most active on there under Stripped by Sia. On Instagram, it's Stripped by Sia Pot. Stripped by Sia podcast. And if you want to be on the show, go pitch yourself on strippedbysia.com under contact. And last but not least, my Patreon is patreon.com/strippedbysia. But Danica, it was so much fun chatting with you again. It's been so long. So I'm really glad. I really hope this episode helped out a lot of folks. And thank you again for sharing all your expertise and hilarious stories today.
My dating horror stories.
Thanks again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Great questions as always, and your listeners are always awesome with what they ask. And thank you for inviting me back on. It was such a pleasure to have a chat with you again.
Thank you.
listening to Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia, music by Ted D, graphic design by Maria Bellandarama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.